exactly what we learned. So I'm going to have to get exactly what it's on, and then I'll give it together with the next test. Believe that. It'll be two tests.
I remember where you start.
Some of that got it, I don't remember which part. And from Memta, some of the base, and then I'll it out. So I just have to know exactly what to do. We're going to start this week again from the bottom line of Nun Lamed Beis. I understand that Rabbi Karr got further than that, but in order to get into the flow of the sugya, we have to start again from the bottom line of Nun Lamed Beis. Ibayalu. The Gemara had two answers of why that Mishnah said a person died and his estate has to feed the girls. That was one of the cases. Another case of it was if a person sold a field that was stolen and then it got, you know, got returned to the original owner who only pays expenses, and now the buyer wants to be reimbursed for his fruit and other things. So the Mishnah said you can only collect that from the Chasim B'nai Chayrin. You can only collect that from the land that the Ganav who sold it has. You cannot go to the land that he subsequently sold. Can't collect from Shabbatim. The Gemara wanted to know why. The Gemara offered a choice of two answers. Ula said, because it's not written, the responsibility to reimburse the guy for the field is in the contract. It doesn't mention any amount of Paris. There's no mention there that he will be reimbursed for the fruit that grows. And Reb Chanina said, it's because it's not a set amount. We only have buyers responsible to reimburse on things that are a set amount, that they can find out a set amount. Whereas this is not a set amount because you don't know how much fruit's going to be there. You don't know how much improvement he's going to make. And therefore, there's no shibud on it. So the buyer, the one who bought the stolen field and gets reimbursed, can only get reimbursed for the payers and the shvach karkas from what the ganav has. Not from what the Ganav sold off. That's what the Gemara said. Yes?
When we say Tsuga, it's more than just Tsuga. It has to be a call, right?
What?
Doesn't have to have a call? Like, if Tsuga alone is not enough, then it has to have a call?
Well, that's what the Gemara explained by Mazan Isha Vabonis. The Zak Tsuga doesn't have a call. Right. But again, I was just saying the original thing. Ibayiluhu. Bottom line, Nunamad Beis. Reb Chanina, who said that it depends on a set amount. Tsuvim Ksuvim Bayu? I Dilma Ksuvim Abushaydin Ksuvim. Is he arguing at Ula, or is he adding to Ula? Ula is the one that said that it, because it's not written. Ula said in the name of Rish Lakish. Then Reb Chanina came along and said, it's not a set amount. Is he trying to say that in order to collect from Shabbatim, you need it both to be written and be a set amount? Or is he disregarding written, and it says it makes no difference as long as it's a set amount? Now, Rashi learned, and this is a big machlokes rishonim, Rashi learned the nafka mina would be by milvah bal peh. If you have a loan that doesn't have a shtar, right? Somebody lent the guy money with witnesses, but no shtar. So that is not written. Not written, but it's a set amount. So Reuven lent Shimon, sorry, we don't like Reuven in this year, Shimon lent Levi $1,000, did not write it in the shtar, right? Shimon goes to collect from Levi. Now, is he limited to collect fields that Levi has? How about if Levi sold fields off after the loan before he paid back? Can Shimon track those fields as a shibud? It was not written down, the loan. But on the other hand, it was an exact amount. So when Reb Chanina said we look for an exact amount, was he saying both? It has to be both written and be an exact amount? Or was he saying, forget about written, even not written, the shibud is there at tough luck on the buyer, even though he claims that he had no way of finding out. It wasn't written down. There was no coil. He doesn't know. But it wasn't a set amount. The shibud is only in a set amount. That's the question.
But if the whole thing is that the buyer was negligent, even if it's assumed, he's not negligent. So why would he be? Why would he take the field?
Again. Not true. If it's written and it has a coil, He is negligent.
Right.
But the problem is, there's no way he can protect himself because there's an unknown amount.
Correct. I understand that.
Okay. So that's why that Mount Yamar says ketubah.
I'm saying in a case where you have set amount,
right.
What's the reason you could take from him still?
Because there's a shibud.
But why is there a shibud? He knew nothing about it.
Again. Let's step back. Okay. So first of all, we're trying to be bothered by this, but let's learn Rashi. There's a challenge throughout Shas whether shibud is the raisa or drabanan. Is shibud a biblical thing, or is shibud a rabanan takana? If it's a drabanan takana, you have a good question. The rabanan wouldn't make a takana to hurt the buyer. But if it's a deraisa, it's an automatic. Every time you lend a guy money, his land is mishubah to you. It's, I feel bad to the buyer, but that's what it is. Now, the Gemara says elsewhere that even if you learn shibud deraisa, the rabanan removed it off of Imovu Balpa. But Rashi learns that's the machloikas here between Rish Lakish and Rav Chanina. Ulam or Rish Lakish is saying it's not written. Whether you learn Shibud is the Raisa or Rabbanan, we removed it. And Rav Chanina is saying, since Shibud is the Raisa, it's biblical.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
I mean, it's according to that, even if you didn't hear it, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. Good. But Tysus and other Rishayim are very bothered by this, because the Gemara all over Shas says that Mova Babad does not collect Mushabadim. And here it seems to be a man. But look at that. We learned Rashi. That's what Rashi says. Yes, Baruch Hashem.
Constantly learned that the mere fact that it's Tzuvin creates the cult. I know that this field always produces $5,000 a letter.
There's no such thing.
No such thing?
No. It's not Tzuvin.
It's good Tzuvin.
It's not.
It's always Tzuvin. I mean, it's a double custom.
It's not. Tzuvin means set amount. You never know what your field's going to produce.
How could you possibly have ketubah? What does
ketubah mean? Alone. Set amount. Achilus Beres is not ketubah.
What is Chanina talking about? What's
she aimed to? Yeah, the Bryce has said that Achilus Beres, but the guy, somebody stole a field, sold it to somebody else. The fruit is an ain't ketubah. The amount of sale was ketubah. The fruit and the investment that the buyer put into the field, there's no way to know what that amount is going to be.
So, and we're saying to require the shibud, it has to have either two things or one thing.
That's the shaila in Rav Chanina. Correct.
And ketubah alone is not mere making it whole, it's just making an obligation for him to...
Correct. And an Abkamina would be by Milva Balpeh. That's Rashi Shita. Again, all the rich items jump on Rashi, but this is Rashi's Rashi. You know what I mean? He still remains Rashi.
I was learning Ketubah makes that cold.
There's no mention of that anywhere. Rashi. Ketubah Mabishayin Ketubah Islay, and this man the Amr would hold, the Milva Balpeh Shiktubah Parvim Mishavdi. That a Milva Balpeh, which is a set amount, would collect from Mishubadim. Collects, takes away, grabs it away, literally. Collects, that's what it means. Tashima. So we're now going to.
If the remote listeners could please mute themselves.
Making a chiluk is ketubah and not ketubah, right? But if it's deraisa, what's the chiluk? Why should we make it a chiluk if it's deraisa? Deraisa means...
Shibuda is deraisa.
Right, but deraisa should even work on ein ketubah.
Rabbanan removed it when it was ein ketubah.
But it doesn't...
Rabbanan have a right to remove it.
If you explain... If it can be explained, it doesn't... The point of it is there's a shibud, right? It's a marusha.
Again. The Rabbanan protect the buyer from an amount that's not a set amount. Because it becomes open-ended. Nobody will buy a field. It's one thing that I might not be able to trace it down before I buy it. You might be able to trace it down. But if it's not ketubah, there's no way you can trace it down, but you'll never know. Again, everybody agrees that the Rabbanon changed the deraisa. one way or another. The question that Rashi learned, the question is, to what degree did they change it? Dr. Gemara Tashima. The Gemara we learned. Misha Meis V'niach Shtei Banos Uben. Okay, there's a halacha in Masechtos Ketubos that a girl getting married after her father dies is entitled to 10% of the estate. Every girl that gets married is entitled to 10% of the estate. So, Reuven, because usually what happens is, that's the halacha. So now, Misha Meis V'niach Shtei Banos Uben. The guy died, left over two daughters and his son. So the son inherits. And part of the obligation of the estate to his sisters is this Isser Nechasim. The Kadma Rishai never not Isser Nechasim. The older daughter got married. She collected 10% of the estate. Now, will he speak a Shneelig was at Meisaben? However, the second daughter didn't get married till after the brother died, and they inherited the brother because they were the closest relatives. Sisters can inherit a brother. If their brother has no children and no brothers, it goes to the sisters. So here are the two sisters inheriting, each one getting 50% of what's left of the estate. Now the second one's getting married, and she claims that she should get her 10% like the older one got 10%. Now, the older one got the 10% prior to the son dying. Now, the son died, and they each got 50%. Do we still give the second daughter 10%
and then
split it? Or take away 5% from the other daughter? Amar Rabbi Yechinen Shnei Vitro. Rabbi Yechinen says, there's no reason for the takana. The takana was to provide a girl with money. She got 50%. I'm a little Reb Chanina. What do you mean, Vata? If that Kana was made. Vitrimin, she loses it.
Vitrimin loses?
Yeah, loses. Rashi says, Shnia Vitra Ibda, she lost. I'm a little Reb Chanina. G'daylim is Uamru. We said a bigger Kiddush for than this, that she should get it, meaning. The halacha is that this 10% can be taken away from buyers. Meaning, the guy died, left over his nechasim, his estate, to his son, and then his son sold fields. And then the daughter got married. So the question is, she gets 10% of the estate, but part of the estate was sold off. Does she have a right to go take it from the buyers? So the halacha is yes. That 10% obligation is collectible from buyers.
The Shubater.
They material the Mazinus. However, not for food, meaning the state has to feed the girls. That's not what we have to do from fields that were sold. That's not halacha. So you see how Parnasa is so important that Chazal made that takana so strong that it can take away from Shubadim. V'yat Amrit Shnei Vitra, and you want to say that she loses it? This is a very strong takana. Why should she lose out? Yes, she has money, but she was entitled to 10%. That 10% is so strong that we let her collect from buyers. So, we're going to have her lose it? He's like saying, this is a strong takana. Why are we shortchanging her? That's what Reb Chanina says to Rabbi Yechonah. Now, Reb Yechonah will answer you because she has money. I got Reb Yechonah's answer. We're listening to what Reb Chanina is saying. He's just saying, I don't understand you, Reb Yechonah. This is a very strong takana. Strong enough that we're willing to take away from buyers, which we're not willing to do for food. Let me finish. So we see the strength of this takana. So if the takana is so strong, it makes sense that it should remain in place, even if they inherit. Dr. Gemara. The parnasa to make its kayats. 10% is a set amount. We know what the estate is worth. When the guy bought it, he knew what the estate was worth. Michtav loitziva. But it's not written. No place is it written down. Still, b'kametzia. And yet she takes it away. Zakta Gemara, shiny parnasa, even this likala commanded ksiva dami. Everybody knows about this takana. Everybody that buys doesn't have to do any search. He sees there's a girl there, he knows there's panasa. The whole purpose of Tziva is to make a koel. It has a koel. So therefore, it's as if it's written. So this does not prove Tzuvim Avvishenim Tzuvim, because this has a koel. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, V'nat l'isin l'chasim, Shizem Mishpat HaBonus, V'shas Bagrus Ar-Nisuan. Now, Rav Kivega right away points out that nowhere in the Sextus Tzuvos does it mention that a girl is entitled to 10% at the time of Bagrus. Never says it. Says she's entitled to the time of marriage. In fact, the Gemara has a Shiloh there. If she turns 12 and a half before marriage, does she still get it? But never does it say that at 12 and a half she gets it. Zakhtrim Kivager and the Guyan Ashas, Zet Sarach Yemayayid. This is a very Shver Rashi. But Rashi says that. I know so little it's in the Chassid, Bachnosis Parnasa, Yusam, giving in the Parnasa of their Nadin, of their dowry. This 10% does not take into account the fact that she's being fed by the estate for all the years till then.
Maybe Rashi's reporting that it's not a case of meal, where the parents will marry her off before.
I have no idea. I have no idea
once
what you're saying.
She becomes a bakeris, there's no, she can't, the mother and the brothers can't marry her off anymore.
Okay, hold a second. And Nara can't be married off. Their mother either.
Rabbi Margaret.
12-year-old girl can marry her.
Only Katana.
Well, Bagrus is not Nara.
Oh.
Number one. Number two is Rashi says she gets it then. Listen to the words of Rashi. She said, Mishpat HaBonus
V'shas Bagrus. If she gets earlier, if she gets married earlier than that,
she gets 10%.
Also?
That's what the Takana is.
Even the Katana.
Yes. Not so simple. That's a rabbinic marriage. I don't know by rabbinic marriage if she's entitled to Parnas. I don't know. That doesn't make a difference here. It's for sure she doesn't get it, but Shas Bagrus. That's what rabbinic get. Kivagin doesn't argue on Rashi. He questions Rashi.
That's not the...
Rabbi Margaretin?
Correct. Yes, Dr. Bray.
It's a good question. So the 10% doesn't come off at the time of the inheritance estate or at the time that she's getting married? Because Rashi says besides
she
when she's
married.
Being fed. Sorry?
At the time she gets married.
Thank you.
What's the understanding here? The one daughter got the two sisters, and one was being married, and she got 10%. Very nice. The other girl was 3 years old, okay? Or 4 years. Doesn't say that. It could be 4 years, right? And now,
whatever you want
her
to be.
She comes at 18 or 19 in Baruch Hashem, and she found her cousin. At the time when that whole deal came,
there was
no...
So the Nitzivus explains, in Tyrus Gittin, that the Machloikas of Yechon Reb Chanina, alluding to what Dr. Braid asked, is when is the obligation of the 10% kick in? Is it when the father dies, automatically, there's a 10% that's going to be paid to the girls at the time of marriage? And that debt is already there. Period.
So buyer beware.
Again, that debt is already there. That's what Rabbi Yechon is saying. That's what Rabbi Chanina is saying. And Rabbi Yechon is saying the 10% is a takana that kicks in at the time of marriage. Until then, there's no obligation. That's how the Nesivus explains the Machlokes of Rabbi Yechon. I'm glad you agree with the Nesivus. Good. Baruch Hashem.
Why do they call this a kol? Because it's well known that girls get this. Right?
Exactly. It's a takana drabanan. It happens all the time.
So every takana drabanan has a kol? That's what it is, right?
Yeah, very much.
It's not because mitzah happened.
Meaning any buyer that sees girls knows there's halacha parnasa.
Yeah, and the second daughter, if she hasn't collected now, she gets 10% later on.
That's the machloikas.
That's whatever it's left over. Both girls should have collected it. If they were smart, they would collect it now.
They can't. They can only collect it when they get married. It's not given to the girls at the time of the death of the father. It's given to them when they get married. They can't take it earlier than that. Kol means that everybody knows it happens. Mesu. It's talking about over there, a guy accepted to feed.
Don't girls get, let's say, a second daughter, get the amount that the father would have wished to have given her if he was still alive?
Again, everybody, yes, yes and no. We're talking here that the son died and they inherited the estate. There is no estate left. When the father dies and the son inherits, he's obligated to give each sister 10%. Nobody's questioning that.
He gets the rest.
Here, the son died and they inherited it, so they have the money. We didn't finish the Rashi. Achimetz Aben. Right. They speak the language of the sisters like this. Achimetz Aben, but not the color Yerusha, if they stay. If the Ibn Nechassim Shalosh, she lost them. Let me take the Ibn Nechassim Bereisha. Lashar Yechal Kabashava. First she collects 10% and then they split it. At the time that the Kina Yisun Nechassim, they stay Lubanas Parnassus Nesum. They should have something that they can get married. Well, you can say she has more than 10%. Ramalur Chanidu Chimish Mikad Mazu Ibn Zu. Because that person got married first, this one loses. They lose the Ramar Shabul and Malkar Akas and Nechassim. But see me out of the kukas, they can take it away to the buyer, Yisro the Parnassa. We have a b'shem b'tzim l'mzainas m'mshabdi, even though they can't take away from food. That time it's the vitrim, they should speak up. The value of shibut shel acherim shekidayla mizu. In shibut is of others, which is greater, lo amrish is tafsid, we didn't say she should lose. V'achno shem b'fenenu tafsid, and now that it's here she should lose, amal or shvinu lor v'chlin, ktsubim tarvim m'mshabdi, abishen ksubim, gozu, like this. Make it kayas, iser, it's a set amount. This like kolom, everybody knows that the daughter gets 10%. Zakti Gemara Vayter. Mater Rav Huna b'Amenayach. Mesu. This is a case when a person assumed the responsibility to feed his wife's daughter from a previous marriage. What happened is, he married a woman who had a child from a previous marriage. He's not obligated to feed that girl. But his wife, Fanegel, listen, you want to marry me, I want you to support my daughter for 5 years. He agreed. Well, the marriage didn't last too long. Either he died or, let's say, he divorced her, and she got married to somebody else, and again, demanded that he feed her for 5 years. So now she has two people feeding her. So the Gemara says, one person feeds her, and one person gives her the money of the value. No. They're both obligated to feed her. This is an obligation that's not a takana drabanan. This is not set in the ksuba. This is a takana. This was a obligation that the person accepts upon themselves.
Not written.
Well, we'll see that.
Now the assumption is
that it's not written. So Masa Rehuna Babinayach. Mesu, but the same Nizainas Minchasim B'nei Chayrin. He Nizainas Minchasim Shabadim. Then the husband died. Now, they have to feed their own daughters, that is a tnai ksuba, and they have to feed this girl as their own obligation. She is a debt, therefore she can collect from Shabbatim. They're not a debt, it's a tnai ksuba, and she can only collect from what's there, they cannot get from the buyers. She is considered a creditor. She's considered a creditor, and therefore she can collect from Shabbatim. Question is, it's not ksubim. It's only ksubim. It is ktubim because it's a set amount, 5 years worth of food. We know what that costs. Unlike Matan Ishav Abanas, which we don't know how long it's going to take, how long he has to feed them. And for the Gemara, there was a kinyan made. And the kinyan made a, it's as if it's written. That makes it, Tysus even says, stronger than written. A kinyan is automatically public. When they made a kinyan on this, it became a public thing, and therefore it's as if it's ksuvim. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Mesu b'nei seim nesedis. Hanoi says, Isha paski melozim lezbita chomishana. Guy married a woman and promised to feed her for 5 years. Begir shani, he divorced her b'tay chomishana. Velizis l'acha, she married somebody else, who paski megalinkin. Chayiv l'zayim l'shomishana. He also promised 5 years. Echad zana, v'echad nais l'zimeiz m'zayinis. One feeds her, one pays for the money. Mesu, But they say mechasim is done, mechasim neichayim, because it's only matnis and nevatim v'abad v'lishu v'abonis mechasim v'shabadim, like the Mishnah said. V'hi aysa bat ishtay mechasim is mechasim v'shabadim. Alma kivin the kaiti chamishanim. Since it's 5 years set, avagav like siva gavim mishabdi kuv chadina. The kasha l'ula. Our bothering here is how would Ula learn this at all? Ula says you need ksuvim. This is not ksuvim. It's got to learn this raisa. Besides proving that Rav Chanina does not need ksuvim, it also shver an Ula. The previous question was on Rav Chanina himself. He's the one that said that halacha. So it wasn't shver an Ula. He doesn't have to agree to that halacha. But this is a raisa. What? And the Gemara said before it's not called considered written. It's only Ksuvim Eitzim Bnei Chayrin. That was before. That was the Gemara that I made before I got it. And for the Gemara, Shekhanah Miyadai, Ustam Kinyan L'Ksiva Ayman. Now Tysus points out it's stronger. Because the Gemara earlier had said that Ksiva is not enough for this. Because that was the Gemara before you learned with Rabbi Kar. So Tysus says it's even stronger. In fact, the Gemara, Yehaki Banrish Nami. If you made a kinyan for the daughters, it's ksuvim. Ula, who says ksuvim is enough, if he made a kinyan for her, this girl, he probably made a kinyan for his own daughters as well. If he made a kinyan for both, it's ksuvim. So up to Gemara, Shikanu Luzu, Vuloi Kanu Luzu. He only made a kinyan for his wife's daughter. He didn't make a kinyan for his own daughters. In fact, Gemara my Pisca. How do you know this? How do you assume that? If he's making a kinyan with his wife, why do you assume that he's not making a kinyan for his own daughters? So to Gemara, but I'll tell you what. His wife's daughter exists. So he made a kinyan. His daughter from her is not born yet. So he wouldn't make a kinyan now for a future daughter. Not, she's not around.
He wouldn't work
anymore. But Manilo kinyan doesn't work.
Well,
in fact, to Gemara, Milo Yaskinin, the Havi Tabaya Bishas kinyan, who says, can't this be a case that he had been married to this woman previously, had had daughters, now is taking her back, right? So he has an obligation to feed his daughters. That's Naitsubah, even though these daughters were born of the previous marriage to the same woman. Meaning, who says these daughters aren't around? Maybe his own daughters are around too when this marriage is taking place. He was married before to this woman. Divorced her. Now he's taking back.
But she had to have a kid.
She had the kid before he married her the first time. What?
Now
he's making a kid. Well, he's writing a new ksuba, right? And he's making a kinyan on her girl. So why is he making a kinyan on his own daughters? Dr. Gemara, let me just finish. As Dr. Gemara, I'll be to the night bathroom club. Let my honey look kinyan. My daughter, anyway, she's going to get fed. Because he doesn't need the kinyan. So the kinyan doesn't help. Because she eats anyway, so the kinyan doesn't help her. He did make a kinyan. He made a kinyan for both. But the reason his daughter can't get is because since she's obligated with ksuba and he made a kinyan, it leads us to suspect that she might have been given money beforehand. You never know. A father can sometimes tell his daughter, here, take this money. When you need it, use it. Usually, he doesn't do that. But here, it's a Tanai Bezin and a Kenyan. So therefore, we don't let her collect from a Shubadim. Because we say that the buyers can claim that there might have been money put aside. Usually, people don't put money aside. But when you have a double obligation, then we suspect that he did put money aside. And therefore, they can claim you can't take our Mishabadim. The girl, the Bat Ishtai, there was only one obligation. So we don't suspect that he put money aside for her. But when there's a double obligation, then we're afraid he might have put money aside for her.
His own daughter.
For his own daughter, who he's obligated to feed with Naitsuba, and he made a Kenyan. So because he did both, the buyers can claim, hello, you can't take our field, he might have put money aside.
What do you mean he made a Kenyan?
But he made him Isaac Kenyan, just like he did by his wife's daughter. He did something. They did a chalipa, whatever they do
what
for Kenyan.
What do you think, Isaac Kenyan and what else?
The ksuba. His own daughters he has to feed anyway. That's what it says in the ksuba. his wife's daughter, he doesn't have to feed anyway. Terry says he made a kinyan. He's making a kinyan, he would make a kinyan for his own daughter, Sue. The answer is, that's exactly the problem. Because he made a kinyan, it's a double obligation.
He made a kinyan for his wife's daughter.
The Gemara assumes that once he's making a kinyan for his wife's daughter, he's making a kinyan for his own daughters.
Right, so now he's a kinyan for both daughters.
Correct.
Why does the other daughter?
Because he had an obligation to feed his daughters anyway. Now he double obligated himself. So that creates a fear that he might have put away money for her somewhere.
He took back his grusha?
Yes.
Grusha had a child when she came in the second marriage?
She had it by the first marriage too. But the first marriage, didn't promise her anything. Now, if he wants to remarry her, she says, well, this is going to cost you, my friend. We were married once. You divorced me. You want me...
All three daughters are his, right?
No. The first daughter, well, there's a daughter his wife had from a previous marriage.
She had a previous marriage, then she married him the first time, then she married him the second time.
Correct.
Okay, and when you say Tanai...
As the Sabbath Rebbe would say, she's holding my Kama Kaddish to me. Somebody once got married multiple times, so they came and told Tava Rebbe that the guy's getting married. He said, "How did my come a kaddish
shvi?" And he said, "Tnaik suva means that he's obligated to
feed his own daughter."
His own daughter. And then he said, "Tnaik based in." Is that the same thing?
Yeah.
And the tnaik suva. Do we have tnaik suva? It's just a tnaik.
None of this thing. All these things that Masechtas Ksuvah spells out are not written in our Ksuvah.
But it still
exists. Yes, it still exists. It's not to feed his daughters while he's married to her. It's to feed his daughters after he dies. The estate has to feed the daughters.
So in Ksuvah, it talks about how do you know the man's
class
to feed his daughter?
That's what I'm saying. The Ksuvah only obligates him to feed him posthumously.
So the buyers are saying it's possible that he left over money for the daughter, right?
Put it aside somewhere that she has.
So what does that mean? If you prove it.
He doesn't have to prove it. He has enough of a claim that we can't take it away from him.
So, I mean, the only way to take it away is about to be something. Was he didn't do that.
I hate to say this, the buyer's claiming proved that he didn't.
Right, meaning, so there's no way to prove it? Either.
Exactly. Now, usually we don't suspect that. But here, because it's a double, we suspect it. Right. What? That's questionable. Amana has to swear as a Gemara in Ksubas, yes. Sometimes she does, sometimes she doesn't. Depends if she took food for a Ksubas, she doesn't have to swear. Only for a Mezainus, I think. I'm not sure. I would have to look in the Sugya again. I'll get there and update you soon.
Did we answer if it's only fixed in both? Did we come out to a conclusion yet?
Well, all we were worried about is that Ula said you need Ksubas. So we answered that it was Ksubas. Now, Rav Chanina, we still don't know whether he needs two of them or not. That we never proved. This was not brought to prove Rav Chanina. This was brought as a kashan ulo. Rashi. Yehachi ben Osnami, Davalim, and they listed in Mishabdi, Habakkani, other Gemara, talking about Kenya. My Piska, my diet is the Tana. What is the Tana thinking? Pipaska, the most of the Stam, Mand, the Pots, the Koki, Kanam, the other, the Basis, the Kanam, the Bita. Is that a fact? People only make a Kenya for one, not for the other? Well, that boy, she died, we know that she wasn't born. So the Gemara said, Mila is Ginan, Kalema Bilo, Mashman, I mean, can't the Mishnah be talking about? And the Havib Nuts and Bishas Kinyan, and the daughters were there, Bishas Kinyan? Vehki Dumming of the Gershal Akash and Old Lemmy Menubanus, he divorced her after he had girls, the Hadra Puski, Mitsunoa, Malolun, she made these conditions, the Masnitsin Stamatanan. The Mishnah didn't say that he didn't have his own daughters from her. She made Gregara bit me, is it worse? Keep it my best and call who not me cut me other nice and lave lashlam hookah. It's on his heart that he has to take care of her. Amit Sorry Shamas a Sorry means a bundle. A bundle of money you treat him in my side. Lias Biadullah. He He might have given her her own wallet, her own package.
So the case is really far-fetched. So I was thinking,
why can't... First of all, you just made an assumption. Thank you for making that. Who told you this is far-fetched?
The garbage should take her back. And
you know, how do you know it's far-fetched? What do you know happened in those days?
Okay, so it wasn't far-fetched.
You decided it's far-fetched. I don't know. I wasn't there.
I would have given another case of not far-fetched. That he married the lady, and she had a daughter from before. And look, I feel like the lady never said anything. Just no kidding, no nothing. They don't have to support her, okay? And they had a baby. And she decided, you know what? I was stupid. I want you to start supporting her now also. Why can't that be the case?
Because the Mishnah doesn't say that. That's a great case. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah makes it a condition of the time of marriage. That's the case of the Mishnah.
My case is more possible.
Except that the Mishnah didn't say that case. We're trying to explain the Mishnah.
Meaning it was at the time...
That's what the Mishnah said. You're right, you can have your case. But the Mishnah said it's talking about the time of marriage. Can't ignore the Mishnah.
She can't stop making a claim when they're married or giving you...
She can ask, you can say no. See, she's making it a condition of marriage. If not, she's not willing to get married to him.
No, she can do it.
She can ask.
I mean, she can say, listen,
yeah, listen,
don't
yeah.
do it, and I'll make life really miserable for you.
Yeah, she can say that. Obviously, they made life miserable for each other already once, you know what I mean? And the second go-around. Start thinking about the Tashima. I'm Reb Nathan. Now, this is going to be a kasha on both. Because this is going to say a third reason why you don't collect the Shlach Peres and Achilles Peres from the Shabbatim. I'm Reb Nathan. Amos, I'm his mantra called the Mechel Shoshani, the Shlach Shoshorichin. I have a called the Shlach Shoshorichin, the Mechel Shoshani, Gleibim Mechasim Shabbatim. He says, when do we say, meaning like this, what happened is the following case. Somebody stole a field and sold it to Shimon. And Shimon sold it to Levi. There were two sales of the stolen field. The owner comes and takes it away from Levi. Levi goes back to Shimon and says, listen, you sold me a stolen field. Right? I want to be reimbursed. Right? So, I'm just trying to get this case straight, right? Take it back. I'm sorry. No. Somebody sold a field and sold it to somebody. Subsequently, the guy sold a different field to a second Lekeach. Right? Somebody stole a field and sold it to Shimon. Subsequently, the guy
doesn't matter.
Subsequently,
people don't understand it. Reuben's fine. I'm serious. I can't draw it. Reuben's fine.
Again.
Not fine.
Subsequently,
he's a stealer. He's not dead and die. He's got it. That's all.
Subsequently,
we just got it before this also.
Well, can I know why all of a sudden you're having this dumb thing? Can I finish? Subsequently, they got up, sold the field to Levi. Now Shimon is coming to collect,
it's
not a sold field. Shimon's coming to collect, and he comes to the Ganav. The Ganav doesn't have enough money to reimburse him, so he goes to the Mishabadim. So he can't go for Achilles Peres. Zakr of Nassim, it depends. If when the guy bought the stolen field, these improvements were made already, so then the second buyer knows about those improvements. He knows what field the previous person had sold first. So then he could collect the Mishabadim. It's only if the guy who bought from the guy that made the improvements after the sale, after, again, if Mizman Shekadam Mekra Shoshani Lashvaka Shorishan, if the first buyer did not improve the field by the time the second buyer bought the field, so then the first buyer cannot go to the second buyer because the second buyer never accepted, never knew about this. So the Shimon made improvements before the Ganav sold the field to Levi. So by the time Levi bought the field, he should have done a search. And one of the things he would have found out in the search is that this person had sold the field to somebody else who had made improvements. He could find that out. And therefore, that shibud is there. Now, that's not ksuvim. It's not ksuvim. And still, Rav Nachman says it collects. It's there in both Mandi Amram. One Mandi Amram says ksuvim. One Mandi Amram says ksuvim. This is not ksuvim. It's not ksuvim.
Are we equating
Eros
and
Shvach?
That's Eros and Shvach.
Yes,
same thing. Same thing. Was already grown? Are we grown?
Let's say Shvach. Let's stay away from Eros. Shvach,
Rashi said, collects the original
Nixel. What if he doesn't have money? No, the Goslin. He doesn't collect Shvach. He collects expenses.
Expenses.
That's not Shvach.
Okay.
Wait, again. This guy sold the field he didn't own. This guy's supposed to know about it? The whole thing is secret.
No. Let's set up. I'm going to go not with the Gemara's case. Let's set up a different case. Somebody sold the field to Shimon. His own field. Then he sold the field to Levi. And we found out that the field he sold to Levi was stolen.
First field?
Second field. Right? Let's step back. Let's stick to the Gemara's case. Somebody sold the field to Shimon.
He stole the field. He didn't own it.
Right. And then he sold the field to Levi. His own field. And now the owner takes it away from Shimon. So Shimon comes to the Gazman and says, I paid you $10,000 for the field. I want my money back. Forget about Shvach. Forget about Paris. I want the money I gave you back. And the Gazman says, I don't have money. He can go to Levi and take the field. Because when Levi bought the field, part of what he has to check out is what happened in the history of this seller. And every sale that happened, the seller has responsibility, which transfers to his property. That's part of the title search. The title search will be any previous sale that this guy made. That's part of the title search. Like you search for loans, you search for sales, because the sale might not be good. Chances are, remote, but it's possible, and therefore that's part of your title search. Now, Achilus Peiros, Shvach Karkos, was not included. We said either because they're not ksuvim or because they're not ksuvim. But this Mandi Amar is saying no. It depends when Levi bought the field. Did it happen yet? If it did, then Levi is responsible for that, even though it's not ksuvim and ksuvim. So it's a kash on both Mandi Amram. Dr. Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Eibes, Rav Nachman Eibes, called the Mekach Shosheni, the Shvach Shorishin. Abba called the Shvach Shorishin, the Mekach Shosheni, Kaiv, and Chasim Shabbatim. Abba, who they called them all? It has nothing to do with Tzuvim, nothing to do with Tzuvim, it has to do with time. Dr. Gemara.
Did we lose him? Hello?
Yeah, sounds like a wire just got loose. I heard the static. Maybe they'll come back. I'm going to try it again.
Maybe someone should text Baruch Moshe. He's usually good at telling him to reconnect. Anybody have his cell phone?
Who's that, Baruch Moshe?
Yeah.
Can you do it?
I'm going to see if I have his number. Yeah, I have it. I'm going to text him.
Okay, good. As much as I'm teaching computer technology this year, I'm still not tech-oriented. A lot of Kolalim came in here. This beginning.
You know, there's only 5 minutes left. I'm going to try to call in because who knows how long it's going to take him to call the rabbi.
I called Baruch Moshe.
Yeah, I don't know if he could reconnect us or whether we have to call back in is what I'm saying.
I'm going to try calling back.
What field is he searching? Or is he just searching this man?
Searching the man. Not the field.
He will not find the one he's buying, the field that he's buying.
He either will or won't.
And if he won't, he'll still buy it.
That's his decision.
So if he does that decision, how can he go back to anybody else? If he can't find...
Again, when a guy sold him the field, he accepted, he did a search. Does the guy own previous money? Does the guy have sold previous fields? That's what he searches.
But he won't find that steel that he's looking
for. How can he find the steel?
Right. So, why doesn't that give him, White goes out and says, well, I better not buy this field. He goes ahead and buys it anyway, even though he can't find it.
He doesn't think it was stolen. He thinks it was bought. Listen, you want to search, I'm selling my house.
No.
So you're going to...
Libby's going to Lakewood. Libby's going to Lakewood.
I moved to Lakewood. Now, I'm selling my house, right? You're going to do a search. Mm-hmm. Now, what your search is going to show you is that I bought the house from somebody back in 1987. Mm-hmm. Right? So you don't know whether I bought the house in 1987 or whether I stole it in 87. You know that somebody owned it in 1987 and then it transferred to me. You have no idea how it transferred. You assume that it was sold.
I can see there was transferred.
But you know somebody else lived there in 1986, and I lived there in 1987 till 2022. I'm not interested now, chazaka, not chazaka. That's not the point. The point is this church will not prove stolen or bought. It just proves that the guy has a field. Why should he think it was stolen?
When somebody transfers without money exchange, you call it a quit claim. I quit claim to this thing and I give it to the next party. That's right.
Today, everything's on the day. Much better. Today, they didn't have records in those days.
Right.
There was no place you could look up my contract. Today, you go to the city, you can pull everything. What? No, there was no records. It relied on Kyle. Remember, people didn't move far. They lived in the same neighborhood from the day they were born to the day they died. They relied on the good old-fashioned coil. There was no records. They didn't have a copy of contracts. I just dealt with this in Ksubas. And as you throw, every Ksuba is copied. And it's a file. Every Ksuba in as you throw is on file in the government. So there's a big Shiloh was. There was a fire. In Harnof, I think it was, in one of the areas, on a Friday night afternoon. And a lot of people's ksubas were burnt. Are they ushered to their husband, or can they rely on that copy? That was the big tumult, the big Zapurskim. Because there is a copy of the ksuba, but it's not the real ksuba.
With signatures, right?
They copied the ksuba, it's a photocopy.
What's the
side
to say it's not good?
Because there's no ksuba. That's a copy.
Person loses their
ksuba.
They have to write it over?
Sure, it's called the ksuba. So that's what happens today. If somebody loses their ksuba, they go to the rabbi and he writes a new ksuba.
Why?
That's the halacha.
I mean, yeah, but I'm thinking, why is the...
new obligation. She has to have a star that proves the obligation.
So I would have said that the copy would be...
But that's what was not like a surprise. We're not going to get it.
Who holds what?
Remember...